We've been studying the book of Daniel, and today we come back to our series. Daniel is a book in the Old Testament. The book of Daniel is a prophetic book. It's kind of grouped with the major prophets, and part of the book of Daniel is about prophecy and about the world that Daniel lived in and the days coming ahead of Daniel's life leading up to the coming of Christ. And so it's a prophetic book, but also Daniel's a book of great stories. And that's really what we've been focused on so far as we've started in the book of Daniel. If you've ever read the book of Daniel, you've read it recently maybe, you know there's some incredible stories in the book of Daniel. Certainly we think of Daniel in the lion's den. And I think of this incredible story of a man who probably pretty late in his life is represented in this story. But Daniel, there's quite a few stories about his life, and they begin when he's very young. He's a preteen or an early teen when the book of Daniel opens up. And so what we read about Daniel for the most part is when he's a young man. But there are some things that we read about Daniel later on in life. The book of Daniel is an incredible book about the qualities of integrity and about a man who lived out the principles that he believed were right. It's a great storybook. It's a great example book. The book of Daniel is also a book of contrast. And last week, we kind of contrasted an arrogant king, a godless kind of barbaric kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. And then on one hand, and the other hand, you have this man named Daniel who in the world's eyes was unarmed, but he had great character and boldness to stand up for what is right. And we're going to continue and look at this story and Daniel's character today. Last week, we looked at the contrast between an angry king. You remember Nebuchadnezzar was frustrated. He was angry because he had had a very troubling dream. And apparently it was a dream that he had more than once. And it's kind of one of those dreams that he lived with over the years. And as the years went by, and he continued to have this dream probably over and over again, he became more troubled by it. It was a troubling dream. And he didn't know what it meant. And he knew it was big. It had to do with the future. It had to do with his kingdom. It had to do with all that he lived for. And so he called the people around him to interpret the dream and tell him what it meant. And nobody could do that. And he got more and more frustrated with his wise men and the enchanters and the astrologers and all those that were the professionals in his service. And nobody could tell him what this dream was or what it meant. And he got more and more angry over the years. And finally, earlier in chapter 2 last week, we read where it boiled over and Nebuchadnezzar said, "Put them all to death. Put all those astrologers and wise men to death. I don't want them around here. If they can't do their job and interpret my dream, then I want them done away with." And so he gives the order for them to be killed. We also know that Daniel would have been one of those considered wise men. He and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego had been taken from Jerusalem and brought to Babylon. And then they went into a 3-year training of Babylonian ways and culture and laws. And at the end of that time, we're told that Daniel was 10 times better than all the people of Babylon. So he was a very smart man. He's a man that rose to the prominence in the palace, and he was trusted by many. And so you have Daniel on one side, and you have this angry king demanding an interpretation on the other. And he orders to put to death all those wise men in the middle. And then last week we read about what did Daniel do when he heard the news that he was to be put to death and all the wise men of Babylon put to death. Well, we noticed last week that Daniel remained very calm. I mean, what did Daniel do? The king's out of control. The king is upset. The king is saying and doing many things. And what happens to Daniel during this time? What about his actions? What about his life? What about his character? We're told that he remains calm. He also remains self-controlled. He's a man that could have gotten all upset and just begin talking and saying all kinds of things, but instead, Daniel remains calm. And there's a great contrast between these two men. How do they handle being frustrated? In fact, this story to me also reminds me about how do we handle ourselves when we're frustrated? What happens when we don't get our way? What happens when somebody crosses us? What happens when things don't go the way that we hope they do? What do we become? How do we react? What do we say? Well, we see this in the example of the king. Put him to death. He's angry. He is out of control. He didn't get his way. But in Daniel, it's the other way around. Indeed, we do learn a lot from Daniel. What does Daniel do? Daniel goes and he seeks God's counsel when he's under pressure. He seeks God's counsel. Well, let's pick up the story in Daniel chapter 2, verse 24. And we'll read through verse 30 this morning. Daniel chapter 2, if you want to follow along the story. It says, "Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, 'Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him.' Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, 'I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means.' The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, 'Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?' Daniel replied, 'No. No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a king in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you lay there on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind.'" The stakes were high at this moment in Babylon. The king was angry. He had ordered to put to death many people. There were a lot of tensions. There were these tensions that had boiled over. Nebuchadnezzar was upset. Everybody knew that you better stay out of the king's way. Nebuchadnezzar had the power to put to death whoever he chose to, and you better not cross him. And so when Daniel hears the news that Nebuchadnezzar has ordered that all the wise men would be put to death, Daniel knew that something had to be done. So what does Daniel do? We're told that Daniel goes to his three Hebrew friends. He prepares. How does he prepare? Does he get swords ready? Does he go and talk to a lot of people and gather together a small group of armed people? No, he goes to his three brothers, three men who love God, to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he asks them for help. What does he do? He explains to them the situation. He tells them what's going on. He tells them what is happening and what is going to happen. And then he urges them to pray. And they prayed and they prayed. So what does Daniel do? He urges his friends to pray. He explains the situation. He urges his friends to pray. And so they do that. We're told that they're praying at night. I don't know exactly what time of the day the news came to Daniel, but I just kind of think maybe it was late afternoon. Maybe it was early evening, and Daniel hears the edict that the king has said all the wise men are ready to be put to death. And Daniel hears that, and then he what does he do? He goes to find his three friends, and what do? They begin to pray. You see, Daniel knew what to do when he had a problem. He knew what to do when he had a challenge. He knew what to do when there was something going on in his life that was bigger than him and he needed help with. Daniel knew what to do. He knew to go and pray, and that's what they did. And they prayed. Well, you know, sometimes when we pray, we're not sure if God hears. We don't know what God is doing. We don't know that God's already has his hand or his mind or his finger on our situation. But we know that if we pray, God hears us. That's the promise of Scripture. If you have something going on in your life and you're praying, I want you to know that God hears you. You may not be able to see that all the time. You may not know that. I don't know how long it was that Daniel and his friends prayed, but they prayed. They believed that God would listen to them and hear them. And the truth was, God knew where they were at the whole time. God knew what Daniel was going through. He knew what Nebuchadnezzar... You remember, God's the one that gave Nebuchadnezzar the dream many years ago. God already knew the path that was going to go, the path that was going to be unfolded to that day when Nebuchadnezzar said, put the wise men to death. See, God already knows your path. Psalm 139 says, God knows every day of your life before one of them come to be. That's pretty amazing. God knows every day of your life before one of them comes to be. He knows how long you're going to live, whether it's short or long. God knows that. Somehow this infinite, eternal, powerful God knows that about my life and your life. You know, we can barely keep straight our own lives and what's going on within us. But there's a powerful God who knows what's going on in our lives. He knows what you're facing today. And no problem is too big for him. No circumstance is too big that God cannot handle it. God's shoulders are big. You know, sometimes people kind of say to me, well, I don't know if I had to pray about this. God, what would God do with me? What would God do with my problems? Well, the truth is, God's shoulders are big enough for your problems. He's an infinite God. He's a powerful God. He's a God that holds this world in his hands. He knows your life. He knows your problem. So if you're wondering, can God know what I'm dealing with? I want to say to you today, absolutely yes. God knows what you're dealing with. And he cares about you so much. Not only is God powerful, but the Bible says that God is completely loving. That means that he cares about you. He wants a relationship with you. Your problems may seem to cloud everything about your concept of God. You think there's no God out there. God can't hear me. God can't know me. But I want you to know that God is big enough to know every person and every problem that we deal with. He is a great and a mighty God. Earlier in chapter 1, Daniel used a phrase, and he used it too in chapter 2. He says, the God of heaven. The God of heaven. He was saying there is a God in heaven. He's an amazing God. He's a powerful God, and he hears your prayers. He heard Daniel's prayer. He heard Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God hears you when you pray. You notice how Daniel's prayer led to a mighty answer. You know, Daniel prayed, and God answered. God gave Daniel the dream. Why did God give Daniel the dream? I don't know. It was a part of the plan. God knew it was going to happen. But in this story, when did God do it? God did it when Daniel called out to him. And Daniel said, God, we need you. You know, till you come to the place of acknowledging your need for God, God cannot and does not and will not force himself on you. Until you come to the place in your life where you say, yes, God, I know I need you. Like the song that we sang earlier, I need you. I think of the great hymn that we sing sometimes, I need thee every hour. Until you come to the place of knowing that you need God and you acknowledge that before an almighty God, until you do that, then God may seem very silent to you. But there these men were. They were praying. They were listening. And then I noticed too what happened. It says, during the night, through the night, God answered their prayer. You know, it wasn't right away. It wasn't right when they asked. But sometime in the night, God answered their prayer. God gave, He gave Daniel the dream. Suddenly, however God did it, God said, okay, you've prayed, and I give you the dream. And he gave it to Daniel. In the waiting, in the praying, in the listening, I want to say today, God is present in those stages. So don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up praying. Don't give up praying for people. Don't give up praying for yourself. Don't give up praying that God can change you and help you. Don't give up. Just don't give up. Don't give up. Someone shared with me last week how a family member came to Christ after the family had been praying them for 40 or 50 or 60 years. God can change people. God can change you. God can help you. You know, I sense there might be some people here this morning who have some problems that seem so big. You think, I'm beyond help. No, I tell you what, there is a God in heaven who can help you. There is a God in heaven, powerful enough and strong enough and loving enough and mighty enough, that if you trust Him and you put your faith in Him, He can help you. He can give you the answer in your night. Maybe you're in the night right now. You wonder, is God there? God is there. Daniel prayed. And when he prayed, God answered his prayer. When I think of the book of Daniel, right away, the two characters that come to my mind, of course, are Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. They're our story today. You have this man of God, and you have this king. But I tell you, there's some other characters in the book of Daniel, and the one that I'm thinking of right now, the third character, even more important than the first two, is God himself. You know, God was there. God was there in the story. God was there all along the way of the story of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. And the truth is, God is there in your life too. Whether you acknowledge Him. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar never acknowledged that it was from God until Daniel showed him that, showed him the truth. All along the way, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and God was there. God was speaking to him. Nebuchadnezzar never acknowledged that. He never humbled himself before God. So he never knew what it was. In the same way, God is speaking to your heart and your life. That's the promise of Scripture. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's speaking to the world. He's convicting of sin. He's trying to draw us to Christ. Draw us to the power of forgiveness. Draw us to the power of God's ability to change lives. Nebuchadnezzar never noticed that. But I want you to know, in your life, God's drawing you. And God is wanting to speak to your life and your heart, whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life. Daniel was a man who prayed to God, and God answered his prayer. God did his part. God answered his prayer. God gave him the dream, and then Daniel did his. I said before, you've probably heard the expression, pray as if it's all on you, or pray as if it's all on God, and work as if it's all on you. And that's what I think about Daniel's story. He prayed. He didn't do anything until he prayed. I mean, he didn't make any progress till he prayed. He called out to God, and God answered, and then Daniel went to work. What did Daniel do? He went to the right source. What did Daniel do after God answered his prayer? Well, we're told that Daniel went to Arioch. He was bold. He went right to Arioch. You know, Arioch was the one that was supposed to put the wise men to death, we're told. And he goes right to him. He says, Arioch, don't put us to death. He was direct with Arioch. He was direct about the problem. He was honest about it. And he was confident. Wow, that's pretty good for a man that's about to be put to the sword. Why? His confidence was in the God who gave him the dream. The God who heard his prayer. The God who is able to help him. He says, take me to the king and I will interpret the dream for him. I mean, he's bold. Take me to the king. He goes to Arioch, and Arioch gives him the news. Daniel, by whatever time, you're going to be put to death. And Daniel comes back to him and he says, take me to the king. I will interpret the dream. And then he does so. Verse 25 says, Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. And so here he is before the angry king who's ordered the execution. And there he is. What's he going to do? What's Daniel going to say? Says the king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? I don't know if the king had calmed down by then. Maybe he was angry all the time. I don't know. But the picture we have in the first part of the chapter is he is so mad. He is so angry. He is so hostile. The king said, all right, can you interpret the dream? Now, I notice this is a defining moment for Daniel. What's he going to say? How's he going to handle this? Well, the first word that Daniel utters to the king in the whole story is the word no. I think, ooh, that's not a good start. The king says, are you able to interpret the dream? Daniel says, no. You know, I thought, I could just see the king kind of rise up out of his chair. What? And then he goes on and he says this, no, wise man, no enchanter, no magician, no diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. Honest, direct. No, king, can't be done. There's nobody out there that can solve your problem. There's no human that can do it. There's no smart person. there's no really bright guy out there that can fix your problems, King. Nope. And you know, that's the way it is with the problems in our lives. A lot of problems that we have, sometimes we bring on ourselves by our actions and mistakes and all those things. They just don't seem fixable. They're not fixable in human terms. Daniel says, King, I'm sorry. No man can help you. And then the end of the verse, he goes on. But he says, and look at this reaction, the next thing he says, but there is a God in heaven that reveals mysteries. That's the power of this story. Daniel says, you're right. Nobody can fix your problems. There's a lot of problems out there that we can't fix. You probably have some problems that no one can fix in your life. I have struggles that I know nobody can fix, but God can, because the God in heaven is able to do that. Daniel looks Nebuchadnezzar right in the eye. I think of it like this. He looks up at this king on the throne with the guys behind him with the swords and the spear and whatever it is, all this power, all this majesty, all this gold, all this authority. Daniel says, no, there's no help for you from man, but there is a God in heaven that reveals mysteries. There is a God in heaven that can help you. Maybe you're struggling with something today. I just want you to know there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. And that God in heaven is the one that's able to handle whatever it is, wherever it is that you struggle with in your life. Daniel says the God in heaven. These are wise words that Daniel speaks here, carefully chosen. And what he's doing is Daniel is pointing Nebuchadnezzar to God. He's saying, Nebuchadnezzar, you're looking for answers, but you're looking in the wrong places. You're listening to the wrong people. What you need to do is listen to God. You know, there's a lot of people out there who can probably give you some interpretation of your dream, but what you need to do is listen to God. There's a God in heaven that reveals mysteries. And then one more quality of Daniel this morning. I'm going to ask Debbie to come and play. I haven't talked about this quality of Daniel, but it kind of jumps out to me when I read this part of the story, and I think it's very important, and that is Daniel's humility. Don't miss how important humility is in finding answers for your problems. There is no substitute for humility before God. You think you have all the answers? You think you can just control everything? You think you can just fix everything and figure everything out? It blocks the power of God to change things in your life. It blocks the ability of God to change your heart. And you know what Nebuchadnezzar needed more than anything else was to have his heart changed. That's what he needed. And God was giving this man an opportunity. God was granting Nebuchadnezzar, and we'll read this scripture next week, I believe. God was giving Nebuchadnezzar the opportunity to stop in his tracks and look at the God in heaven and say, okay, God, I'm going to listen to you. What does Daniel say? As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because I have greater wisdom than other living men. What's Daniel doing? He's pointing Nebuchadnezzar to God. He's saying, hey, it's not me, King. It's not me that Arioch brought in that can interpret your dream that you need. He goes on to say, God's given you an opportunity. God's given you a chance. I'll read it from the text. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O King, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mystery showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O King, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Daniel says, it's not because I'm so smart, O King Nebuchadnezzar. It's because God's giving you one more opportunity. God is speaking to you. God is saying, if you'll call out to me, if you'll humble yourself before me. Daniel was pointing Nebuchadnezzar to God. And that's really what we have to do to help people around us. Point them to God. Point them to the power of God. Daniel could have taken credit. He could have got puffed up and said, yeah, God showed me this, and now I'm telling you. Or, you know, he could say to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I wonder why God chose me instead of you guys. Or he could have said to Arioch, look at me, I'm going to be far more important to Nebuchadnezzar than you are. Not Daniel. See, Daniel had character. He had humility. Because he had humility, God used him in a powerful way in so many ways. So the question I'm thinking of this morning as I close this message is, where's the next Daniel? How many Daniels are we going to have in the body of Christ? How many Daniels in this church? Are you a good candidate to be Daniel? Are you a person that says, God, I need you. I really do need you. I really need to humble myself before you and say, God, I can't do it on my own. I can't fix everybody's problems. But I need you, and I want you. Who's the next Daniel? Where is the next Daniel? Do you dare to be a Daniel today? That old song, the chorus, the words will come up next. I've read them the last 2 weeks. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. Do you dare to be a Daniel today? You dare to have that humility? Call out to God and believe that God can answer your prayer and help you today. I know that God wants to change our hearts. He wants to make us humble before Him. Would you stand today as we pray? Dear God, I thank you for the character of Daniel. I thank you, God, for this story that reminds us that we can't do it on our own. We can't do it in our own strength, God, but only as we rely on you, only as we humbly call out to you and say, God, I need your help. I pray that we would know that there's a God in heaven who is powerful, who is loving, who understands our needs, and who can help us. God, I pray that we would call out to you, that we would give some things up. Maybe we would give up that sense that we know everything, God, and ask you to teach us and train us and change us, God. I realize that you gave Nebuchadnezzar a chance here. God, you give us a chance when you call us to change, when you call us to humble ourselves before you. I pray, God, you would help us to have a faith and a trust and a character that calls out to God, I pray. Answer the prayer of your people this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name.